Thanks for listening in to the Calvary Podcast, coming to you from Miami, Florida. We're so glad you've joined us. We hope today's message will encourage you and remind you that God is with you and He's for you. Here's today's message.
Luke chapter 24, we're going to read the story about resurrection, a few chapters. If you're there, can you say amen? Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord says this. But on the first day of the week, by the way, that's Sunday. The first day of the week is not Monday, it's Sunday. It's why the church still gathers on the first day to celebrate what happened here on this day. It says, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Verse 11, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. And he went home marveling at what had happened. I love this story in Luke. Today, let's talk about this for the next 23, 24 minutes or so. It is Resurrection Sunday. It is Easter Sunday. You're in the best church with the best looking people on the planet. And we have the best news that he has risen. Luke chapter 24, what a story out of Luke 24. I want you to write some notes down if you can. Take some notes. I've titled this message, Living in Wonder. Come on. Why don't you slap 3-4 people around you and tell them we're living in wonder. Come on, everybody in the mezzanine in the top section, high five 3 people around you and tell them we're living in wonder. We're living in wonder. We're going to pray and then we'll talk about Jesus for the next 22, 23 minutes or so. And then the team's going to come back. I just love our worship team. Anybody love worship today? We're gonna sing one more time and throw a party and then go outside and enjoy all that we have going on out there. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you, we love you. What a day. Come on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for hope. We thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you that this day is absolutely significant, profound, and beautiful as we think about the greatest news, that Jesus is alive. Woo. God, we thank you so much. As we gather together, God, we pray for this whole day, this entire church, this entire family, God, as we gather at a high school to lift up the name above every other name with the good news that Jesus is alive. God, we pray that today you will focus all of our attention on your word, all of our attention on who you are, Jesus, the resurrected one, the risen one. We love you and we thank you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that the entire 12 p.m. says, oh, come on, the entire 12 p.m. says, can you make some noise for Jesus one more time? Come on. Several weeks ago, I was in the office working, and I had my laptop open. I'm trying to write down some notes. We had just finished having a meeting, and I get this notification on my laptop that says, your Mac will soon sleep unless you connect to a power source. Obviously, you know that means I need a charger. I opened up my bag only to find out I had left my charger at home. And I said, okay, no worries. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, child. My wife is there. And so I go, Diana, babe, Sugarfoot, do you have a charger? I need to charge my laptop. And she says, babe, I forgot my charger at home. I was perplexed. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I was a little a little, it was weird. I'm just kidding, she's the absolute best. And we're like, okay, no problem, my sister's there. And so we asked my sister, she's our assistant, Priscilla, do you have a charger? And she's like, I left my charger at home. It's a problem. I'm like, Priscilla, I'm trying to find you a husband and you don't have a laptop charger. She's single, she's 5'5", she likes long walks on the beach, she's sitting in this front row, she's amazing, come on. And we start asking everybody, and people come with different types of chargers, and we're all trying to charge our laptops. And now, because they've changed the end of some of these chargers, some of them seem like it, they're shaped like it, it looks like it's the right portal, but when you try to connect it, it's not the one. And I was getting frustrated, we were getting frustrated, nobody had a charger this day. And we're like, if we don't connect this laptop, it will soon sleep. I thought about that because I thought about how many people today, millions of people around the world and possibly in this auditorium today, across all the services that we're having, your soul feels like it's about to sleep soon. You're tired, you're frustrated, you're low on faith, on hope, on grace, and you're trying to find the right chargers. And we've been looking for everything to charge our soul, and some seem like it. Some are shaped like the right charger. Some seem and look like they're the ones that can satisfy the soul, but we still can't find it. How many people today all across our world are looking for something to bring an answer, a hope, peace to their mind, their soul? And we tried every kind of charger, but nothing seems to give us the power and the peace and the hope that we're looking for. There are people that literally their battery's running out. Nothing seems to satisfy, and we keep going to the wrong connections. I'll put it this way today, wrong sources never give right solutions. And I think I don't need to convince you of that. You know that I know that. We go to all different types of sources. We go to all different types of outlets only to find out they don't satisfy the soul. The human soul is craving, looking for what can satisfy it, what can give it direction, what can give it peace. And we've tried everything and we still can't find it. Some of us walked in here today wondering, where can I find the power and the peace for my life? And I've gone everywhere, but I still can't find it. The problem is, bad places can't give you good outcomes. Some of us know we've gone to temporary things, but you know that temporary things cannot give you eternal satisfaction. So we've done it all, tried it all, and none of these things seem to satisfy the soul. What do I do? Where do I go? I'm trying to find peace of mind, but the money won't do it. The relationships won't do it. The house, the car, the people, the friends. Some of us are laughing on the outside, but broken on the inside. Some of us have a smile on our face, but crying on the inside. And if anybody really knew what we were dealing with, what we were handling, the problem is we keep going to bad places trying to find good outcomes. You can't keep going to the sewer trying to find fresh water. Come on, 12 p.m., are you with me? I can't keep going to a sewer trying to find water to refresh my soul. You can't keep dating bad men trying to find good fathers. Can we talk about that for a second? You can't keep dating Mrs. You-Know-Who trying to find a woman with values. Right? Like, I can't keep going to the same old place, the same bad places, trying to find a good outcome. Sooner or later, you'll find out none of this is giving me life. None of this is giving me hope. None of this is going to change because I don't change the location of where I'm trying to find a source of life, power, peace, principle, values. And so today, there's so many of us that we're just walking around with hidden brokenness, hidden insecurities. Our self-esteem is through the floor, and we try to dress it up with all types of vanity on the outside. We smile and put a suit and a smile, and we can't hide the fact that deep down inside, we're broken. Deep down inside, nothing can satisfy the human soul. Deep down inside, I thought the marriage would last. I thought the kids would be good. I thought the family would be different. I thought the money would do it. I thought that having the nice house and the car would finally bring me the peace and the hope. I was listening to an interview this past week of a very famous actor who literally has made hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And he says, I get now, the actor Jim Carrey, and I would say the same. He said, I wish everybody could have hundreds of millions of dollars to find. It does not satisfy. He said, I've had it all. I've had every car. I've had every house. And it does not bring satisfaction to life. So some of us are there. We've tried it all, done it all. And we're walking in here on a resurrection Sunday trying to like, what can bring me peace? What can power my soul? Because I'm depleted on the inside. Sooner or later, you find out you are an eternal being who needs an eternal solution. I was getting ready for the sermon this week, and I'm studying and praying, and I really sensed in my heart that some of us, the problem we can't find life is because we keep looking for life in dead places. And there's so many of us that we've been hanging around dead places for way too long. We've had dead relationships. We've had dead friends trying to give us good advice. They're toxic. They're dead. We've been hanging around in the cemetery for way too long. We've been in the graveyard for way too long. You'll never find life in a graveyard. You'll never find satisfaction in dead corpses. You've been hanging around dead people, dead relationships. Everything's been dead. The friendship's been dead. The people around have been dead. The vices are dead. They'll try to satisfy you for a moment, but it will not last. And it's time to get out of the graveyard. It's time to get up and kiss the graveyard goodbye. I really felt in my heart that the scripture today is telling us, oh, why are you looking for the living among the dead? It's time to get out of dead places. Slap your neighbor and tell them, get out of the cemetery. It's time to leave dead county. It's time to walk out of broken things. It's time to leave dead things behind and say, I need life for my soul. I need life for my family. I need life for my marriage. I got good news. Jesus is alive, which means there's life after the grave. Stop staying around dead people. Stop walking around dead things. It's time to kiss it goodbye. Walk out of the grave and say, because he rose, I can raise as well. Come on, give God a praise. How much longer am I going to hang around dead things trying to find some living source? Some of us, we've been walking around. The smell has gotten on you because you've got nothing but dead things around you. And you realize that the soul is not satisfied in a graveyard. I can't look for life in a graveyard. Today, I really sense that. I don't know who that is for, but today, stop looking for living things in a dead place. I'm gonna say that one more time. Stop looking for living things in a dead place. It's time to get up and get out and walk from a living in death to living in wonder in Jesus' name. I don't know who that's for, but the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell you, get up and get out from the cemetery and walk in the wonder and the grace and the hope that is found in Jesus. Oh, come on, you didn't hear me. Get out of that dead place and walk into the hope and the joy and the peace that is found in Jesus. Can I get an amen? Today, I really believe that there's peace for you and I. I really believe that there's hope for you and I. Today, you can walk out of here different than how you walked in because Jesus is alive. I put it this way today, that a hopeful life comes from an empty grave. Today, you and I, we can have a hopeful life because the grave is empty. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Somebody shout everything. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. We go to the Gospel of Luke, and we're reading the Gospel of Luke. We're reading the first 12 verses because I love the account of Luke and what he tells us about the resurrection. In fact, all four Gospels, they give us the account of resurrection. That just means that these four friends of Jesus, disciples, brothers of Jesus, all of them can attest that the resurrection is true. They all write about it, and they all write about it from their particular view. You read Matthew and he tells you certain things. You read Mark and he tells you a couple of things. Luke tells you something different. He's a doctor. He writes in a different way. And John would say the same thing. So we go to Marky Mark, Uncle Luke, and Little John, and they all speak about the resurrection of Jesus. I love Luke's account. Luke is going to give us a picture about resurrection and what a story. Luke, he says that the women get up early, and for us to really understand the power of what happened this day, you have to go to that day. Because today we're walking in here with hope and excitement. Many of us who follow Jesus for a year, two, three, we know we come in here ready to party and celebrate, but put yourself in their place. They get up on this Sunday morning before the sun gets up and they don't have smiles on their faces. They're not putting on suits. They're not excited for a photo shoot. They're absolutely bummed. Because Friday they saw the most horrific execution of an innocent man. And it was the man that they thought was going to lead them, save them, and help them. They thought this was going to be their political messianic leader to come and set them free from Roman oppression. Now they, if you and I witnessed what they witnessed, we would get that Friday was absolutely horrific. Some of us have seen depictions in movies and details, and we're like, I can't even see that again. That's how horrible it was. The Bible says you couldn't recognize Jesus. He was covered in blood. He dies on the cross. They put him down in a grave. Good Friday was not Good Friday to them. Saturday is known as Silent Saturday. Imagine them sitting at home like, what happened? What happened? I thought Jesus was the Messiah. Just a week ago, we came in on a donkey and everybody was screaming Hosanna, and now he's in a grave. Has life ever turned out different than what you expected? You ever look at your life and you're like, this is not what I thought and pictured. They didn't think it was Resurrection Sunday. To them, I would call it Disillusioned Sunday. The word disillusioned in Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it literally means to give up trust or faith because that which you hoped for did not come through. And I really believe that's the heart of so many people around the world today. I've been there, you've been there. We've been disillusioned. What I thought, what I pictured is not happening. I didn't think the marriage was going to end this way. I never thought that by this age, I would still be struggling with this thing. I had a picture, an idea, an illusion, a dream, a vision of what my family life was going to look like, my business was going to look like. And never did I think it would be a dead end. Ever been disillusioned? And this is them. And they get up this Sunday morning and disillusioned, sad, and broken. They're headed to the tomb because their Savior, the Messiah, is dead. They didn't think and they didn't have the information that you and I have. In fact, literally, the Bible says, on the way, I believe in Mark, they start talking. They're like, who's going to remove the stone? This is a huge stone. And they look like Mary, Joanne, like somebody. I mean, you're a CrossFitter. You'll move that heavy stone. Somebody needs to do this. Like this is, and they literally get, and as they're getting there, they finally look, and the stone has been rolled away. Ooh, this is good news. Come on. They get to the tomb. And you can act brave, but I would not walk in there. Like, what happened? What does anybody know what happened? Finally, they get some courage, and they muster up some courage, and they go and they look inside, and they're like, the body's missing. The body's missing. Literally, Luke gets this detail. He says this word, they were perplexed. You ever been perplexed? Some of you are perplexed right now. Like, you ever been like, just like, what happened? Disillusioned, now perplexed. Somebody stole his body. Who took it? Is he around? Did somebody take him outside? Why is this stone open? Remember, they don't remember the promise. They have no idea what's going on. They're scratching their heads like, what? First he's dead, now somebody stole him. They're perplexed. And literally, the Bible says two men appear and they're angels. Now some of you are like, I would love to see an angel. No, you won't. The Bible says they hit the floor like, oh my God, right? Like, these are a massive angel. Like, and the angel's like, what are you looking for? I literally sense, like, that's the word for some of us today. What are you looking for? You've been looking for a connection for your soul. You've been trying to find some peace. You've been trying to find some hope. You've been trying to find life. Can I tell you, you're not going to find it anywhere else. And the angel of the Lord can come and say, what are you looking for? Why do you keep searching? Oh, what you're searching for is not in a cemetery. It's not in a grave. It's not in a tomb. What you're searching for is the author of life. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. And he says this line that I love. He says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Have you forgotten? Literally, the next word is, remember his words. One translation says, don't you remember? The ladies are like, don't insult me. Like, the angel has a little bit of an attitude. Like, don't you remember? It's like, no, I don't. It's been a difficult couple of days. Why are you looking for the living Why are you looking for the author of life in a place of dead corpses? Why are you looking for the author of life where dead bodies are? He is not the author of death. He's the author of life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. All things were made by him and through him and for him. There is no one like Jesus. Who is this man? He speaks and life happens. He speaks and miracles occur. He talks and demons flee. He moves and death has to bow. His name is Jesus. Come on. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Woo. Today, some of us have been in dead places. Stop looking for living things in dead places. What happened in that very moment is that their confusion, their perplexion stopped. I want to finish with the last couple things and then we'll worship Jesus and we're going to go out and celebrate. We'll throw a big party in here now at the end. But three things that I see from this story. Really quick, if I can tell you, and then I'll be out of your way. I see the search that they were on has stopped. Write this down. The search is over. Come on, look at three people around you and tell them the search is over. No, but you got to tell it like you mean it. Hit him and tell him the search is over. Some of us have been looking. Some of us have been searching. Some of us have gone high and low and deep and wide, trying to find satisfaction, trying to find some peace. We saw the weed won't do it. The alcohol won't do it. The women won't do it. The one night stands won't do it. The money and the cash won't do it. The cars and the houses never do it. Oh, today's a good day. The search is over. That which I was looking for is alive, and he now wants to connect to my soul and give me the life that I was searching, the hope that I was desperate for. Anybody grateful that the search is over? Jesus overcame sin in the grave so that you and I today can have life in our soul. Life in our soul. The search is over. Friday night, me and Dad, after our Good Friday service, we go outside. It was the best Good Friday we've ever had. This Friday was beautiful. We go outside and this couple comes up to me and Diana, and they want to share a good story of something that happened. It ends up in a good story. It started kind of like a crazy story. The man works at a hotel in South Beach, and a couple weeks ago, this young girl went missing. And he said the whole hotel was literally searching for her everywhere. Police was called. There was a search and rescue, all this kind of stuff. Her parents absolutely losing their mind. Imagine. I'm a first-time father now, and it's absolutely crazy. Imagine your child missing. That Wednesday night, they attended our worship night. The first Wednesday of every month, we gather together for prayer and worship, and they asked one of the pastors to pray, and he prayed. They go back the next day, and after a couple of days, they get a phone call. All of them get alerted. Hey, search and rescue, call it off. The girl's been found. She's alive. Imagine that. Yeah, like some of us get it. Some of us are parents, and like if that was our child that finally got found, we're like, whew. Hey, call the search over. There's a sense of relief that you almost can't describe with words. Some of us know, and some of us are about to find out today, that we were searching everywhere. Oh, we walked into every club. We went to every party. We talked to every person, trying to find something for the soul. Oh, but because he resurrected, we call our friends and we tell them today, the search is over. I ain't going to club no more. I don't got to get drunk anymore. Tell so-and-so, I found what I've been looking for. I found the answer. I found the solution. I found the giver of life. The search is over. Come on. Yeah. I don't know who that's for, but today that's you. You've been looking, you've been searching. What can help me? What can satisfy the soul? The search is over. What are you looking for? Matthew gives us something that happened. The ladies, they see the angels. He's not here. Oh, why are you looking for the living or the dead? He has risen. And they're like, oh my God. They start running. Luke says they go home, but Mark says, wait, along the way, something happened. Luke doesn't give this detail, but Matthew does. Matthew chapter 28, if we could put it, Matthew chapter 28 says, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy to run and tell the disciples, and behold, who met them? Come on, 12 p.m. I know you got a croqueta, a coffee, something. Running to tell the disciples, who met them?
Jesus.
The one that they were looking for found them. He said, greetings. Jesus just shows up like nothing happened. What's going on, you guys? Where are you guys running to? They grabbed his feet and they worshiped him. I love that Matthew gives this detail because it shows me that while I was looking for life, the author of life was looking for me. Oh, come on, today, I want to tell you, it's not that you're looking for him, it's that he's been looking for you. And that's why he brought you into Robert Morgan on this Easter Sunday, 2024. He's got your number. He's got you on the GPS. He loves you. He's for you. You can run, but you can't hide. He loves you, and he wants to give you life. Slap your neighbor and tell him, oh, the search is over. The Bible says they grab Jesus and they worship him. I love what the angel says. The angel says, don't you remember? And they're like, no, we don't remember. We've been crying for 3 days. What do you mean? Number one, the search is over. Number two, that means the promise is ours. The angels remind them that Jesus had said some words. And today, some of us need to know this. Jesus said, oh, they can destroy this temple, but 3 days later, oh, it's going to get back up. Jesus told them he was going to resurrect. The problem is, when you go through hard times, you forget every promise. And we can act like we got it all together, but if you've been in some hard times, you forget every promise. You forget every truth. Don't you remember? No, we don't remember. Jesus said these things when he was with you. The angels probably have a big smile. This is planned all along. He's alive. He has risen. The Bible says, then they remembered. That's right. I remembered, didn't you? We went to a theme park about a year and a half ago, and it was a few friends from church, and Koyasu was with us. Koyasu's not we love Koyasu. He's one of the best pastors. We love him. He's like a family member to us, and been in Calvary for a long time. We all go to Islands of Adventure, I think it was, and Koyasu's not a fan of roller coasters. I love roller coasters. And so we convinced him to get on this one roller coaster. It's the motorcycle one. I forget what it's called. And we're like, hey, Koyasu, it's not a bad one. You're going to enjoy this one. It's a good ride. It's easy. It's chill. Are you sure? We're like, let's go. Let's go. Come on, big dog. Let's go. God's like, all right. Koyasu gets on the roller coaster with us. He's sitting the row behind me to the left. And so I can see him. And every once in a while, I turn around like, I'm that annoying guy. I'm like, the ride takes off and Koyasu's enjoying it. He's like, this is awesome. We're going and you're cruising and you're on this motorcycle. It's fast. He's like, I don't care about speed. I just don't want it to get crazy. And we're like, if you know this roller coaster, it gets to a point where it starts going backwards. I look back and his turned a little bit more into and it starts going backwards. And all of a sudden, the floor opens and this roller coaster drops. And it doesn't just drop like a nice drop in its beautiful colors and lights. You dropped into darkness. And I look back and we were in darkness, but I could see he was Casper White. He was pale. And now I'm like, ah, and he's like, ah. And he forgot what we told him, that everything was going to be all right. And it's the same way that we are. When life drops and life gets dark, we forget the promise that Jesus spoke in the light. But I'm here to remind you that every promise in Jesus is yes and amen. It may get dark, it may get heavy, but I want to tell you that what Jesus said will always come to pass. He's the resurrection, he's the life, and no matter how bad it gets, you can bank on his promise that you'll get out of it alive in Jesus' name. I may lose my life on this side, but on the other side, I'm eternal forever. Why? Because that's the promise. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says in chapter 15, for as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. Woo! You know why I'm living in wonder? Because death is no longer the final answer. And in this life, I may lose it. My health may fail me. My strength may fail me. But he gave me a promise that he's the firstborn of creation, and after him we'll all rise. I want to tell you today that because Jesus conquered the grave, you're going to conquer the grave as well. The Bible says that all of us who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise. You can walk out of here saying, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if that's true or not, but the resurrection is absolutely true. More than 500 witnesses saw Jesus. The Bible says this in the The book of Romans, Paul's writing to the church of Rome. He says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I love that scripture. Today, if you can lay down your life and say, I've tried it all, I've done it all, I've been looking and searching, but today I lay down my life and I give my life to him, and you die in the same way that Jesus died, meaning you die to the things of this world. The Bible says you're gonna also resurrect with him. In the same way he conquered the grave, one day, soon and very soon, your body will rise out of the grave as well. Number one, the search is over. Number two, the promise is ours. I don't know what you leave with out of here today. You can leave with a chocolate bunny outside with some nice pictures. You can leave out of that. The best thing you can leave is with the promise that death is not the end. This is why we live in wonder. A hopeful life is ours because the grave is empty. We'll go through some darkness, we'll go through some drops. No matter what may happen, there's hope at the end. I'm gonna ask the band to come up and we're about to close. Number one, the search is over. Number two, the promise is ours. Third and finally, we'll finish with this. Who is this man? Number three, the difference is obvious. As we look at Luke chapter 24, the Bible says that the ladies, they get back to the house and they tell the disciples, and all of them, they can't believe it. That's a fairy tale. Don't tell me Jesus resurrected. No, I don't believe. We saw an angel. Yeah, you saw an angel, sir. None of them believe it. They're in grief. They're in shock of what happened 3 days prior. But Peter, in the Gospel of John tells us, John 2, Luke didn't want to include him. Maybe they had some beef. But the Bible says that Peter and John, they go running. John stops at the entrance and he doesn't go in. But Peter goes all the way in. He looks. And I love the detail in the Gospel of Luke because it says that Peter walked away marveled. Marveled. You would think that they had seen it all already. They saw the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. They saw the man with the withered hand get healed right in front of them. They saw resurrection when Lazarus resurrected. And Jesus is like, I'm just giving you a movie preview. I'm about to do this in a couple weeks. They still didn't get it. And it wasn't until this moment where Peter walks away marveled. There, that word in the Greek, it literally means in amazement. Who is this? It's no one like him. I've searched and I've searched. I've looked. I've tried. There's no one like this Jesus. The resurrection changed everything, and there became clear to Peter. This man is different than everybody else. And not only did it change his perspective of Jesus, it changed him. Because for 3 days, they were sitting in fear, in pain, in grief. But because of that resurrection Sunday, they got some boldness in their life. They became louder about their faith. And now they lived differently than how they did Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday morning. The Bible says that 10 out of the 12 died as martyrs, meaning they literally died for their faith. What happened? What happened that Peter was okay to lay down his life as well when they came and they told him to deny Jesus? And he's like, no. And they said, we're going to crucify you. And he says, you can crucify me, but don't crucify me like my Savior. Crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy. And Peter says that the story is that Peter was crucified upside down. That's how he lost his life. Peter walked away marveled. Something happened that moment that now the difference was obvious. I can't continue living the way I'm living. I found the source of life. The resurrection is not just a one-time event that we celebrate. Why we're excited today is because, yes, one day we will all rise, but more than that, every day we rise. Because Jesus conquered the grave, you can get up tomorrow. Because Jesus conquered the grave. You can have resurrection power on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday. It doesn't matter what year, what week, what time. You can ignore it. You can erase it out of the history. But there's resurrection power for every believer. The government could try to cancel it, but you can't cancel that a Savior came up out of the grave. The grave is empty. I got resurrection power on the inside. It changed my life. It changed my view. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I act. It changed me forever because Jesus conquered the grave. Come on, he's alive. Get up to your feet all across this place. If you're willing and able, I want you to stand up to your feet and close your eyes for just a moment. We're about to leave. I know there's another service. They can wait. They didn't wake up early this morning to seek the Lord. I'm just kidding. We'll try to wrap it up in just a moment. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That means that you may open your eyes so that you may know the hope to which you have been called. Every eye closed, every head bowed all across this moment. This is the most beautiful, most important moment of Easter Sunday, where I believe dead people are coming to life. Today, have you been walking around the graveyard with dead people, dead things, trying to find life? And you're saying, Alex, I don't have peace, I don't have hope, I don't have joy. I'm gonna ask every eye to be closed, every head to be bowed in a moment of privacy and prayer. I'm gonna ask Dream Team and everybody, if you can just be still for about two more minutes. I'm gonna ask everybody to begin to pray. What a beautiful moment we have that on this Easter Sunday, because Jesus has risen, you can rise as well. It was St. Augustine who said, we are the resurrection people and our song is hallelujah. In other words, resurrection is not a one-time event, it's a daily thing. Today, maybe you want to be part of the resurrection people and you want to go from living in death to living in wonder, amazement like Peter did. It changed them forever. Today, is your battery gone low? You've been disconnected. You've been trying to find, get to know the source of life. His name is Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed, today, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus, you're far from God. Maybe you're saying, Alex, there's no way that God wants anything to do with me. I'm far from him. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stolen, I've done wrong, thought wrong, said wrong. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. There's not one perfect person in this place. We've all done wrong, thought wrong, said wrong. We talked about on Friday that we're all born in iniquity. We're twisted, corrupted on the inside. No matter how big or small the sin, we're all sinners. And the Bible says that the wages of sin or the end of sin is death. Sin will kill you slowly. Many times emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and even oftentimes we've seen physically, sin destroys. And maybe there's some of us in here, we've been walking in that destruction. Sin has destroyed our marriage, our life, our soul. And we're trying to find an answer. We're trying to find a solution. The Bible says the wages or the end of sin is death. But I love how that verse finishes. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. In other words, where sin came to destroy, God came to give life. He came to repair, restore, renew. The Bible says that Jesus came down to this earth and 3 years later, he carried the sins of the world on his shoulders. That means all of my sin, your sins, all of our iniquity, every wrong thing we've done, thought, said. Today, maybe you're in here with shame or guilt. If anybody knew what I was struggling with, he knows, he carried it. The Bible says he went up on a cross on a hill called Calvary. And there Jesus, he gave up his life for me and for you. The Bible says that he paid the ultimate price for sin. He was the Lamb of God, the only one pure enough to die for sin. The Bible says they brought him down from that cross. They put him in a grave and he was dead for 3 days. But after 3 days, Jesus Christ, he resurrected. It's what we're celebrating today. It's what we're shouting. It's what we're singing about. And because he's risen from the dead, oh, we're alive today as well. The difference is obvious in our life when we see who this man is as the God-man. Today, do you know him? With every eye closed, every head bowed, I would love to pray for you. If you say, Alex, pray for me. I want to know this Jesus. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you grew up in church your whole life, but you've strayed. You've walked away. You haven't had a relationship with God in a very long time. And today, you know, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I need to get out of the dead places that I've been. And today, I want to come alive in Jesus. Today, you want to put your faith and your trust in him. Maybe you've never known him. Maybe you've never heard of him. Maybe this is the first time, but you've never surrendered your life to him. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's as easy as that. Alex, what do I got to do to connect to this power, to this life, to be saved, to be forgiven of all my wrong? The Bible says if you believe in him and confess, you will be saved. And so with every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. If you're here, you say, Alex, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. Today, I want to repent. That word just means I want to turn around. I want to head to the Father. I want to start a brand new life with him. Resurrection life begins today. At the count of three, I want you to throw your hand up as high as you can. Hold it up as long as you can. I just want to see who I'm praying for. Then you can put it right back down. Every eye closed, every head bowed. In a moment of privacy and prayer, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Hold it up high enough, long enough for me to see you. Then you can put it right back down. Hands going up everywhere already. One, two, three. Throw them up everywhere, everywhere. Throw your hands up today. Amen, 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 amen. I see you, I see you, I see you. I mean, hands everywhere, everywhere. Throw them up. Today, I need Jesus. Today, I'm giving him my life. The whole balcony, hands up everywhere. Today, I need Jesus. I want to repent. I want to give him my life. What a beautiful sight. You can put your hands down all over this place. Woo, hands everywhere. Come on, good news. There's new life. Every eye closed, repeat after me. In fact, the whole church, as one big family, let's say this prayer together. Say, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity. Today I admit that I'm a sinner and that my sin separates me from you. Come on, say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died for my sins, and on the third day, you resurrected. Come on, tell him, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From today on, I am saved, I'm forgiven, and I'm healed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, Calvary, the Bible says there's a party in heaven now. Can you celebrate with me? Come on, hallelujah. Come on. Hands went up all over the auditorium before you leave. I know you want to take a picture with the llama and the bunny and all that. We're going to have some fun. You're going to take a beautiful family picture. But if you said that prayer, hands went up everywhere, we have a free gift for you. You're going to see on the screens, there's a lot of things in this bag. The most important thing, there's a Bible for new believers. Thank you, Arnold. I love your hair. There's a Bible for new believers. There's a Bible for new Christians. If you don't know what you're reading, maybe you've read the Bible before. The Bible says now we have the Holy Spirit to help us. On top of that, this Bible has notes to help you understand what you're reading. We want to give it to you. Just say, hey, I did that prayer with Alex. They're going to give you that white bag, that free gift from us to you. One more time, Calvary, can you put your hands together? Come on, can we celebrate? He is alive. Come on, Calvary, can you make some noise? It's the greatest news in the world. Why don't we leave out here celebrating? Every hand up. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We leave out here celebrating that Jesus is alive. We thank you.